So Genesis 30. I feel like I always get, well, I always get some strange ones. But we're gonna read through Genesis 30, and then we'll go through some thoughts and questions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you today. Thank you for this beautiful weather you've given us, Lord. We know that you have an exact plan on what we how much snow we need, Lord, and everything that's going on in our lives. I just thank you for those that made it here tonight. We ask that you be with those that didn't, and just remind them, Lord, that that we would love to see them here, Lord, on a Sunday night. And we just ask that you would be with us as we go through Genesis 30 and just what's happened with us. In Jesus' name. So Genesis 30. So I'm going to read New King James. I'm just going to read through the entire thing, and then we'll go through and pick it apart. So now Rachel saw that she had bore Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me a child or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in place of God? Who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid, Bala. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bala, her handmaid or her maid as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bala conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid, Bala, what is it? Who says it right? Bilhah? Thank you. Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Nat. Thank you. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop comes." So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "I am happy for the daughters who will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "It is small matter. It is a small matter that you have taken away my husband. Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out and met him and said, "You must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and he conceived, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dana. And then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Jacob's agreement with Laban. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and my own country. Give me my wives and my children of whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service with you has been done, my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." And then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you have before I come with little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own household? So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything if you will do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep your flock. Let me pass through all your flock tomorrow, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the speckled and spotted goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. Then Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. Oh, that okay. So he removed that day and the male. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that has some white on in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them to a hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of the Laban's stock. Now Jacob took for himself rods and greens poplar, rods and of green poplar, and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled the white strips in them and exposed the white, which was the rods. And the rods which had been peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters and in the watering troughs where the flocks come to drink. So they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face forward, the streaks and all of his own brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. And it came to pass, whenever the strongest livestock conceived, and Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods, and the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in so the, but I'm sorry, but when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in, so that the feeble were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man becomes exceedingly prosperous, and the large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Oof. So that's a lot. And that's two whole different issues going on here. So we're going to start with Genesis, and we kind of 1 through 8. We'll break it out into some sections. So what does this passage teach us? It teaches us, well, this passage teaches how what happens when people try to force God's blessings and how God remains faithful anyways. So when desire turns into demanding, Genesis 3 or 31 through 8. So Rachel was a little bit desperate, huh? She wanted a son. Rachel envies Leah and demanded children from Jacob. Her cry is emotional and not prayerful. That makes sense? Her cry is emotional and not prayerful. She wasn't praying about it. She was emotional about it. What do everybody think about that? True? Okay. What about Jacob at this time? What was he doing? Right. I'll just marry her, and have some children. And in reality, Jacob's correct. He had correct theology, but the wrong tone. So Jacob's righteous and rightly acknowledged God as the giver of life. Which he said when in verse 2, am I the in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the lamb or the womb? I just think he was wrong in those aspects of how he was trying to explain it to his wives. Jacob rightly not so then truth without grace can still be still wound. And then there's a spiritual truth in here too. The children, this is a one important. Children and blessings are gifts from God, not entitlements. Right, so children and blessings are good from God. Demanding from people what only God can give us leads to conflict. So, what desires in our lives are most likely to turn into demands? What desires are most likely to turn into demands? what desires. Obviously, Rachel wanted a child, son, right? And she kind of demanded it at that point. But what desires in our lives kind of turn into demands? But and this is it's a great, I mean, I hate doing this, but it's the same, it's the same story I've told in Sunday school class about Tell 100 times, right? This, it was Bria's desire to have children. For me, it wasn't. I prayed about it, and it took God 6 years to tell me yes. 6 years. I thought we were done, and I'm literally, I'm praying about it one day, and God says it's time, and I'm like, let's have a conversation a little bit more deep about this, right, Lord? And he did. And it was, but it was exactly the same thing that was going on with her. He didn't, he, it was just not time. And people don't, she didn't have the faith that she was gonna, that it would be time. And you didn't have me. Well, thank goodness. Why do we? But we've seen this all through. We're only in Genesis 30, and we've seen that same thing happen numerous times, right? We don't learn from our mistakes or our parents' mistakes or our grandparents' mistakes. So how can you tell the difference between honest prayer and sinful pressure? Can you tell the difference between honest prayer and sinful pressure? There you go. Yeah, it wasn't happy. They weren't getting along, I don't think, very greatly here. What's that? Right. Yeah. 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 Pretty drastic comment, right? Like, or she just felt like it was just over, right? Like, just I can't. Yeah. Yeah. So it says, so a scripture that kind of supports what I was talking about. Behold, children, are, this is in Psalms 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Right? So this goes back to children are a blessing from God. And then James 4, 2, the lust, I'm sorry, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Because you are not, you do not ask. Yes, ma'am. No, we can ask about verse 6. Was it God?
Solomon the same thing. Well, God said, God, this is a God thing. And Sam was going, look at you.
A lot of times we think it's a God thing because we have he has given us she had a maidservant, right? She had Jacob. So we think it's a God thing because he gave me a husband and he gave me a maidservant. So well, that's my choice to give him to, right? I don't know if it was a God thing or not. I don't know. I don't it's an interesting, that it's interesting to me that we'll pick on Bria, that if Bria had a maidservant, I had a child with it, that would be she would consider that her child. Well, it's her maidservant, so it's her child, right? That's weird to me when I read through this stuff. It's like, well, that's not your child. Correct. And absolutely.
He still blesses despite the stupidity or poor decisions to make. How do you understand the grace of God? And if not, think the grace of God flow through. So you try to fit all that in, it's just mind blowing. And you see the grace of God flow through real quick. But often, well, there's no God inside of you still suffer whatever consequences that you your states.
Ron.
Rick, I like to bring up the issue of but you were talking there's some grace within that, but he had mentioned before, it isn't, but isn't that the
well, and it gets interesting here in a few minutes when they say something that God is, I'll get there, but I agree with you. He does take our mistakes and makes them, moves us back into where we're supposed to be, right? So let's talk about verses 9 through 13. So this is Leah's reaction. So Leah responds to Rachel's actions. Instead of resting in God's favor, the rival deepens through intimidation. So what does Leah do? She gives her maid. Well, Jacob's gonna have children with her now. The cost of comparison. So envy multiplies sin and spreads unrest. Competition replaces contentment. Right. So in these chapters, she just goes around what guy, and so as Jacob said in verse 2, or yeah, 2, I'm not God. I didn't make your womb that way, right? It's not my fault, right? And so, of course, he just pawned it off, right? Like, well, I'm not in charge of this, which is fine because he wasn't. But then when Leah, goes barren, so she's like, well, I gotta have more children, right? I'm gonna argue with my sister now because now she's got a son and I need more sons. And so it's just a round thing, right? I mean, I feel sorry for Jacob. Like, I don't understand. It blows me away. So here's a question. Who or what do we tend to compare ourselves to? Who or what do we tend to compare ourselves to? Okay. The Joneses? Keeping up with the Joneses? Yes, sir. Everybody but the Lord. Why? Why do we do this? Because what?
he could later on with people they were like in touch, but not with the spies. Right, pretty much. Again, I think just the general principle of the rise of, we look at all kinds of things which are
oh. Right. There's a reason for that, right? And then man got involved. Yeah. I can't even imagine. I mean, this is just the four that we know of, right? I mean, so I can't even imagine. I have a hard time enough with one, much less four.
But yet, you quoted Psalm 127, which is the children are a blessing before. Right? And here's this man whom the blessings of Abraham have been bestowed upon. And God is just blessed. You know, I don't believe that God had in plan for anybody to have great, you know. But yet, blessing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's faith. And it is. Romans 8:28, you know, falls in, right? Because God works together everything for good. Not that everything, but he is that powerful. He is that one. He can actually turn even this conflict or window, you know, into something. This is, you know, like he said, your children, your descendants are going to be upon like the sand and the seashore, right? Like, this is how plenteous that we, and it's amazing if we think about it, right? Like, did Jacob need to have four women, children from four women, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the promise of God to Abraham would come true. I don't know, right? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But think about it. So you're, and you're right. But you're talking about polygamy, right? And God's blessing him in this situation, even though it's. But think about it in our life today. We're not doing polygamy, but we're doing other stuff that God still blesses us, right? We're just yes, sir. Okay.
Children about 6 feet of city. And I started getting frustrated watching the pit. But God is so good at this that if you look at the tapestry of creation, because he's so good at the pit, I think it would be. If not, this one thing almost in the end of the case when I say he's approving what they do, I don't think he approves. I think he's engaging a gross error.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Are we really that much different than Jacob? So what would contentment look like in our current season? What would contentment look like in our current season? Well, are we content? Are you content today as you walk in this building? You think so? Okay. Why?
Like home. And so I think that's where I kind of see it. Because where I'm with somebody else is from, I'm either alone or I'm broke. And I want to be. Absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all. So James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not class ourselves to or compare ourselves to those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise." Any other thoughts on those? Right. Amen.
You're right.
It's pretty liberating that you got time that there's always somebody that we can and that I just needed to. And I was explaining this in the youth today, in Sunday school, what did the best do? It was just great. So what was the best gift they had last year? You know? Like, and Tel said it was cat. He said, best cat, best gift that he's ever had was cat. That's what he said. I don't know if he was being, tongue in cheek, or, but then my daughter says, water bottle. I was like, really? What was this?
Oh.
Doing that, keeping up, is to be. To know that you are forgiven, everything else is a bonus. And you said that word contentment. I did a study on that one time. I think it's for Sunday school, but it literally that word means self-contained. Everything that you need is within you, not because of who you are, it's because of who you have in you, which is Christ. See, a Christian has all the right in the world to be self. Because, right? Because the best thing that could has already happened, which is to be forgiven sin, to us not have to ever face or be in fear of facing the penalty of our poor choices. Right? Everything else is important. And when I personally, when I started thinking, that was the most. Does it mean that I stay on that self-contentment or that self-containment? Idea all the time. I think I agree with Lisa. It's anything, but when I repent, right, I find myself content. Praise God, because, but it takes repentance. In my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have veered off. When you talk about being envious, jealous, self, it's like, no. Everything else, my wife, me meeting my wife is a bonus. I mean, children is a bonus. Having a roof over my head, it's just a bonus. Like, what do I deserve? I deserve penalty, right? Like, it's part of that's how I understand myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that we gave us the time button the next sermon. Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, I
All right,
should.
let's jump into the last two here. So 14 through 21, we're talking about the mandrakes. So mandrake was a superstitious that it would help him get pregnant. Yeah, it's a what? So Rachel used this as a Rachel trusted this as opposed to trusting the Lord. But that's the plain and simple with it. She trusted it more than she would trust the Lord. That was one of the things I had written down here. Scripture plainly says, God, I can't find it here. God listened to Leah and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. So scripture clearly says she listened to her. It didn't have anything to do with the mandrakes. So God does not share his glory with rituals, formulas, or objects. So what modern substitutes do we people trust instead of God today? What modern substitutes do people trust instead of, what is that? Oh, okay. Okay. So some supporting scriptures on this, Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praises to carved images. And Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So this is the interesting one. God remembered Rachel. Do you think God ever forgot Rachel? It's an interesting comment. This was when I read this, I had to read it so many times to try to understand it. In 22, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. I don't think he ever forgot her. I think he was just waiting patiently, and she obviously wasn't. Now we're going to listen. So Rachel receives what she receives what she never could earn. Encouragement for the waiting believer. Delay is not denial. God's promises arrive on schedule, not on demand. So what are we struggling to wait on? Where are we struggling to wait on God's timing? She had what? So how does waiting test our faith? How does waiting test our faith? Just me. So does it test anybody's faith or just mine? Who here is waiting for a loved one to get saved years and years later and seeing it happen? Most amazing thing in your life. Yes. Yes. You thought about that this morning. Your brother-in-law. It's the most amazing thing that you'll, it's, it, to me, sometimes it's even more amazing than childbirth. I love my children. But I, to be honest with you, to sit here that day and watch Lizzie come to the Lord, to me, that was just absolutely amazing. It just broke my heart in a very positive way. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that some of the when God has a woman that's barren, he tends to do some amazing stuff with her, right? I mean, think about further in the future with Elizabeth, right? And she has John. So it's amazing what he does with these women. And it's not so much that they're barren, it's just that they're not, he's not ready yet. There's a time, and he has a time for this. And, I mean, Elizabeth got pregnant months before Mary, because there was a time. So to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Lamentations 3:31 through 33. For the Lord will not cast off forever, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he does not effectively afflict willing nor grieve the children of men. So now we talk about Jacob's clever deceitfulness. Which wasn't really. God blessed despite human schemes. So he had an unusual strategy, didn't he? I'll take these ones, but that's it. And then his father-in-law kind of messed that up for a little while, but he had a plan. So he uses practices that appear clever but questionable. Scripture later clarifies that God, not technique, made Joseph prosper. Or Jacob, I'm sorry. Blessing and stewardship, not proof of superiority. So how do we define success in our lives? How do we define success? Have everything I want, have all the money I need, big old house. How do we define success? What did Jimmy used to say about this? Don't do anything until to go back to the last thing you were doing until God tells you to do the next. Don't just do on your own. And that has been a huge thing in my life. Yours too. Stop doing on your own and listen to the Lord. But that's what we do, right? Oh, well, I need this, or I need to happen. This needs to happen, so I'll make it. God knows I'll make it happen. Or we could wait. And sure. But do we give up on Zach? No. We know he's there. We know he's saved. But someday he may come back, right? I mean, yeah, absolutely. I do too. You know, I see a lot of my family that's not saved. My brother particularly, and his family, his side of the family, and I don't hate him. I just pray for him, right? And look, and how many of you know my brother? Guy knows him personally. The rest of you seen him once. Once he sat here in this church. He's been in this building twice, when I got married and when I got ordained. And I was not going to invite him. And I said something. It was the day before, I think, and I sent him a text and said, "Hey, just so you know, this is what's going on." And he says, "I'll be there." And I was like, I almost didn't ask. But God blessed me in that way to have him sitting here. And it just blessed him. He doesn't know it yet. Never. Yeah. But it still happened, right? So think about that, and think about just conversations you have with people, right? And just that my brother's sitting here. I mean, obviously he lives in Washington now, so it's probably not the best place to, but he may end up in a church one day. He may go there for something. I don't know. But just those little seeds. But yeah, don't give up on them. Yeah, absolutely. So how can we use prosperity in ways that honor the Lord? How can we use prosperity in ways that honor the Lord? Okay. Where God's in it. What's that? Yeah, amen. Right. Again, we don't want to just do, right? I think Greg's right. We want to ask God's advice to, do I go do this? Or do I send this money here? Do I do this? Let's make sure God's involved. Interesting. So think about this. The blessings of the Lord make one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs, Deuteronomy says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Any other thoughts or questions on this? So Genesis 30 shows us striving people and a sovereign God. People manipulate, but God rules. People grow impatient, but God remains faithful. We should stop striving and start trusting. We find that God has been working all along. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for today. Thank you for the blessings that you give us. Thank you for being able to be here and just learn through your word, Lord. As Lord, we just read through Genesis, and we just thank you for these scriptures and these chapters as we go through them, Lord. Thank you for everybody that's here. We ask that you would just guide us each all this week and bless us, Lord. Remind us to look to you and ask you for anything that we need. Remind us not to go out on our own and just be random, Lord. We need to seek your guidance. Thank you for the travels back and forth tonight, Lord. Just keep everybody safe as we go home. And just bless each one of us here. In Jesus' name.
Great point. That Jacob.